And the time is 5:25, and on the phone we have Sora Vernikoff. Did I get your name right?
You did a great job.
Okay. Now, you say diets don't work.
I do.
Why don't diets work?
Okay, so I'd like you and your listeners to think of a diet as a plate or as mm-hmm. a clock. Let's think of it as a clock. So let's start at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, you have your diet. A diet is a group of folks sitting in a room who decide what you can eat and what you can't eat and when you should eat it and when you shouldn't and how much you should have. So you decide you want to get thinner and healthier, and you go on this group of rules that you didn't make. So you go on these rules and you're good, good, good. Let's get to 3 o'clock. Good, good, good. Yay, I've been on the diet for a period of time. I'm following the rules. I've lost a pound. Now I can think about buying a new dress. I can think about taking a cruise. I can even have a boyfriend because I'm losing weight. Okay, the day goes on and on and on. Let's go to 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, you're thinking, I cannot take this diet. It's been 3 days. I haven't had one Oreo cookie. I'm just going to have one. You pick up the bag of Oreos. You have as many as you want because you're feeling deprived. And then what do? First of all, when you had the Oreos, you did the only thing you could do to get back the control from the diet, which is not your rules. But on the flip side of that, then you beat yourself up because, oh, my God, look what I just did. I can't stay on a diet. I'm not a worthy person. So that's a two sides of a coin behavior. But what happens after you binge or overeat is that you go to 9 o'clock and you go, you know, I really want to get thinner and healthier. I obviously can't trust myself, so I'm going to go back to the diet at 12 o'clock. And so you return to the diet knowing full well, lurking somewhere in the back of your mind, there's another diet binge or diet overeating experience on the way, and it's just a matter of time before you get back to 6 o'clock.
Okay, so why dieting has kept you thinking? Now, while dieting, you say it keeps you thinking about food, though.
That's right, because what is a diet? A diet basically tells you all day what you can't have. You know, they say you can't have this, that, and the other thing, but you can only have what we tell you to have and only in the amounts that we tell you to have it. Well, what happens when they tell you that you can't have something? What do you want? You want what you can't have. So, yes, when you're on a diet, you're always thinking about what you can't have. It's a form of deprivation. It's like being in a jail.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you're going to think about freedom, and freedom is going off the diet.
And that's where you ultimately fail and...
Always. 97% of folks who diet within 3 years regain all their weight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they wouldn't need so many diets if it worked.
Okay. So, and you also say that dieting makes you afraid of, fearful of food?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Well, the thing is, if you're told all day by some people sitting in a boardroom that you can't have these foods because you obviously can't trust yourself, aren't you going to be afraid to be around food that you really want?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you are afraid of food. A diet only intensifies that lack of self-esteem and that fear of not being able to manage the food, meaning that you can't eat and stop having the foods you really want, so you've given over the control to a diet, and you're having what they tell you to have. And so, yes, it intensifies that fear of being out of control. It really does.
Okay, so you also say that there are two types of food thoughts that keep you from being successful in your diet.
Well, I didn't. The second part is not true. There are what the book I wrote this book that lets you eat and stop, and you can go off your diet and get thin. And what I've identified is there are only two types of food thoughts that everyone universally thinks about, and that's the inside food thought caller and the outside food thought caller. So an inside food thought caller is when you receive an inner hunger signal from inside your body. You don't know what you really want. You get up in the morning and you say to yourself, should I have a bagel or should I have scrambled eggs? And all of a sudden, when you say scrambled eggs, the inside of you feels better. And so you know your body wants scrambled eggs. That's an inside food thought caller when your body calls for it. An outside food thought caller, though, is when you're walking down, I live in Manhattan, you're walking down the street, you see a new donut shop. You say, I think I'll check that out. So it's an external calling as opposed to an internal calling. And most folks really suffer with both inside and outside food callers. But it's outside food callers are particularly difficult.
Yeah. Well, for me, I definitely, for some reason, I just get cravings for food in the evening, and it's always something sweet. So how do you block that?
Okay, here's the good news. Don't block it.
Okay, just eat. I'm liking it so far.
The good news is that once you learn how to use the green technique, which I'm hoping I can teach you and your listeners, you don't have to block it. You can manage the food in a new way, and you can actually have it and know that you can stop yourself. So, you see, by resisting it, it only intensifies the desire for it. Mm-hmm. Once you accept that you can have it but manage it, then you're going to become at peace not only with the food but with yourself.
Okay. Okay. So, now what, in some cases, I just like to taste, you know, it's about the taste. And it's not so much if you're full, but you're saying, you know, how do you stop eating when you're full, but you're still craving, and you say just keep eating?
Well, here's the thing. Uh-huh. The system I developed has two techniques, the red and the green. So let me teach you and your listening audience how to use the green technique.
Okay.
And that's applicable to when you want your sweets, to when you want to taste. Anytime, to me, food is money. Mm-hmm. So I want to know that I can manage it, because I couldn't always. So kind of this is a commitment I have to myself. Mm-hmm. So the way you use the green technique is this. So what's your favorite chocolate that you want at night? Or what is it that you want at night?
Oh, chocolate. Any kind of chocolate.
Okay, meat. Yeah, okay, chocolate. So what's your favorite chocolate, Aaron?
I usually do something mixed with some type of a fruit, like chocolate-covered blueberries.
Okay, mm-hmm. Chocolate-covered blueberries. So you go to the refrigerator and you take out your chocolate-covered mm-hmm. blueberries. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to teach you how to manage the chocolate cup. That's a big mouthful. Mm-hmm. I'm going to teach you how to manage the chocolate-covered blueberries in a way that you make friends with them.
Okay.
So, all right, I want you to take so they're in a container, am I correct, or is they
correct.
In a bag?
Well, they're a bag, yes, bag.
Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to take the bag. Now, is it a large bag and that it has many servings, or is it a small bag and that it's one serving?
It's a big bag.
Okay, so you're going to take the bag and you put them in a dish, like in a bowl?
Uh-huh. Well, no, I just dip into the bag and I keep eating.
Oh, okay, so let's start there.
Okay. Okay.
That's not
that's
a good
thing.
That's
a big X on that.
So,
okay.
No. So I want you to take, so the next time you do this, it could be tonight, I want you to take those chocolate-covered blueberries, and I want you to take out, to shake out an amount that you think is enough,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I want you to walk back to the refrigerator, and I want you to put the blueberries back in. So now you have a bowl with what you thought was enough, and you put the package back in. Are we okay?
So far.
Now, before you can eat them, because you're using the system, you have to use the green technique, and this is how you do it.
Okay.
You look at those chocolate-covered blueberries in your bowl, and you say to yourself, Aaron, how much is enough and how much is too much? So let's say you have 25 chocolate-covered blueberries in your bowl. How many would be enough for you, Aaron?
One serving, I guess. I looked at it the other day. One serving is 12 pieces.
Okay, so what you would then do... Well, wait a second. I want you to be happy with this. I don't want you to tell me what the package says.
Okay, I did try to limit it to one serving. Okay. I would say maybe a couple servings, you know, because I just kind of snack on them as I go through the day or through the
right.
evening.
Right. But we're talking about one specific time. So
okay.
Let's just say for teaching purposes that there are 21, let's say there are 21 chocolate-covered blueberries in a bowl. How many would be enough?
I would say 12 to 24, somewhere in there. It just depends on how
many. No, it has to... Okay.
Okay, it has to be a number.
Okay. All right,
we'll
so would it be 20... like, there's 21 blueberries in the bowl. How approximately how many would be enough for you to eat at that moment?
I could eat them all right then and there.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not how the system goes.
Okay.
So... You have to look at the 21 blueberries in the bowl that uh-huh. are chocolate covered, and then you have to say to yourself, how much is enough and how much is too much?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say you want to eat all 21, okay? What I want you to do is I want you to set aside the amount that's too much. So take a little bit off one of the blueberries, and I want you to push it away from the 21 that you have in the bowl. Okay. I want you to do that now. So you're going to have two piles in the bowl. You're going to have the 21 that you want to eat, and you're going to have a little bit off of one of them that's going to be on the other side of the bowl or the rim. Can you do that for me now?
Okay, figuratively, because I'm not in my kitchen, but yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. But, yep. So now you have a bowl in front of you. You have two piles. You have the pile that you just decided was enough, and then you have what's called the marker. And the marker is that little bitty stuff that you took off one of them that you put on the rim, like a point on a clock, maybe 1 o'clock, 3 mm-hmm. o'clock, okay?
Okay.
Now you've thought this all out. Nothing's gone to your mouth yet. You've asked yourself two questions. How much is enough and how much is too much? You've taken a physical action of moving away the amount that's too much from the amount that's enough. Now you're ready to eat. So now you can eat the amount that you decided was enough, but not the little part that you put on the rim of the bowl. Okay, so let's just pretend that you ate the 21 that's in one pile, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just ate and stopped. And why did you eat and stop and manage your blueberries with chocolate on top? Because you decided how much is enough. First mentally and then physically by moving away that little smidgen. So the way you manage the food now is by always deciding how much is enough and how much is too much, and then physically acting to set aside the amount that's too much. Once you do that, you own the blueberries. They don't own you.
Interesting. Very good.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Now, you also... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No. That's good.
Okay.
We're good.
So you are also say that, how your kitchen can help you stay thin.
Oh, yes. Well, I believe, and it's in my book, In a Neutralized Kitchen. Mm-hmm. So, and this took years for me to develop. I mean, years and years. So I have a thing about food. When I bring food into my kitchen, it has to be what I call non-excitable food. Mm-hmm. Food that doesn't get me up at 3 a.m. Like you order in Chinese, you have the leftover, you say, oh, I'll wait for tomorrow, and then you get up 3 a.m. and you finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you bring in a packaged cake and it's really exciting and you say, I'm only going to have one slice. Piece now, even I'm going to use my marker, and then you put it in the fridge and you get up at 3 a.m. So my thing is, I taught myself not to have any of those kinds of foods in the house. I either run it under hot water or put it in my incinerator room on my floor. I live in one of those big high rises, and I buy the same brand foods and I put them in the same places. You see, what we want to do is de-excite our relationship with food so we learn how to manage it and stop when we want. But if your weakness is jelly beans and you put it in the kitchen, you're going to be spending a lot of time in the kitchen even when you use the technique. So you have to really think carefully about the foods you bring into your kitchen. You have to ask yourself, can I manage these foods? Can I manage these foods even with the techniques in Sora's program? Or are they too exciting? You know, are they just too exciting?
Mm-hmm. So you also expand that, though, with the things that are in the kitchen. You say that your dishes, your utensils, your napkins can all help you lose weight.
Right. So here's what I say. In order to minimize the anxiety attached to eating, and also to focus on the act of eating and using the green technique of asking yourself how much is enough, too much, moving aside the marker, I like to keep my napkin, my utensils, my plate, and my seating plate where I eat the same, because it really lets me focus on the act of eating and using the technique. If you use a different color dish every time you eat, or a different color knife or fork, or sit in a different place, that's exciting. Every time you change the stimulus, it's exciting. We want to manage our food, so we kind of have to dull the excitement attached to all aspects of eating and focus on, yes, I own this, I can have enough, I can eat and stop myself, and that's what my intention is.
Now, you also say that keeping like a food journal helps you lose weight.
Oh, yes. Well, I've written down what I've eaten for more decades than I'll admit to, because what I want to know is I want to know what I'm putting in my mouth. Even when I'm... even when I'm resistant to writing it down, I write resistant because that helps me see certain things. Mm-hmm. So I love self-observation. And my feeling is if you're not going to write down what you put in your mouth, how can you establish a transformational relationship with yourself in regard to what you put in your mouth? You know how some folks say, I don't understand, like I hardly eat anything and I have to lose 40 pounds. Well, no, it's called calories in, calories out, you know. You just bring in too many calories. And unless you write it down, you're never really taking a look. And it's very difficult to change.
Okay. Now, your book, the number one Amazon bestseller, Eating What You Want.
Eat What You Want, Stop When You Want, a no-diet weight loss program. And folks can get it at nodieting.net, which is my website, or they can get it on Amazon or BarnesandNobles.com.
And we also have some local bookstores that would be happy to help you fill that order as well. Again, your website was nodieting.net.
That's right. That's right, Aaron. How are we doing with the blueberries and chocolate? Are you feeling hopeful?
I'm feeling hopeful. All right. I'm feeling very hopeful. Sora Vernikoff, I appreciate you coming on and giving us some tips as we start this new year and all of us with our New Year's resolution of trying to lose some weight.
My pleasure. It was delightful.
All right.
Here's to chocolate-covered blueberries.
There we go. All right. And we will be right back.